we back? Charles, right before that break, we were on the Pentagon attack. What other interesting observations have you got about the Pentagon attack?
Well, you got your total lack of debris. You know, it's funny, you had Jamie McIntyre from CNN on the scene there, and he said, yeah, there's nothing here to indicate at all that a plane has hit the building. As you can see, the only hole we have is this small hole here. It doesn't seem like a giant Boeing could have done that. And he says, you don't see any large wing sections, tail sections, fin sections, no engines, nothing here at all to indicate that a plane had hit. Later, in fact, April of last year, when the, or I guess it was May 16th of last year, when the footage came out, you know, those two videos, neither of which showed the actual plane, of course, conveniently. One video said that, it was a time-lapse film, and it just happened that it didn't capture the plane in between the camera flashes, you know. The other film should have shown the plane, but the film that would have shown it conveniently, out of all the frames in that video, that one frame that should have shown the plane was overexposed, this weird yellow color. The whole thing was yellowed out, so you don't see the plane. Yeah, no tamperings there, right? But anyway, his story had totally changed. Now the little liar is claiming that, oh, these conspiracy nuts who say there's no plane. Of course, there was. He says, I was there on the scene myself, and there was all kinds of pieces of aircraft lying all over the place, and I took pictures of them.
Well, everybody's seen the pictures, and there's no plane parts.
None. Ploffer, who was the head of the, you know, he was the fire chief from Virginia that headed up putting out the fire and cleaning up the debris there, he admitted. They asked him, was the airplane, you know, the 757 weighs 60 tons, 120,000 pounds, stripped. You know, where is this plane? And he admitted, well, we believe at this point it probably vaporized. We're not finding any significant pieces of it at all. He admitted it. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, pieces of airplane everywhere. The FBI says, yeah, oh, yeah, we put it together. It's in a hangar. I mean, come on.
And so a plane vaporizes, but when you take a look at the pictures of the Pentagon after it's hit, you can see a part of the second floor is falling away, but then in the part that's still upstanding, there's a book sitting open with pages unsinged.
Yeah.
Now,
did you know that just 4 days before the attacks, on Friday the 7th, a satellite took a picture of the Pentagon? And you can see this unusual white streak going across the lawn, almost like a chalk line or something. It turns out that that line is the very path taken by the craft that went across the lawn that morning, and it lines up right with the spot, of course, where the plane had struck 4 days later. You got to wonder, did that serve as
where did you hear this? This is completely new.
Yeah, oh yeah, this is, it's in my book, Piercing the Fog of 9/11. I actually have a picture of it, satellite image. And you got to wonder, was that put there to guide what probably was the...
flight path?
Well, there was a C-130 closely pursuing this aircraft. Probably that plane was guiding it in via remote control. And did that line serve as a guide to make sure that the plane would hit, or the missile with wings, would hit the pre-designated spot to ensure that nobody was hurt of significance? Because it turns out, if you trace that line all the way through the Pentagon, if that plane did, you know, if something went wrong and the plane did penetrate through to the other side, it still wouldn't have hit any significant staff. It would have exited in and out without taking out any important office facilities or staff.
So what kind of a flying vehicle do you think this was?
Well, it was some kind of military plane or missile. I would say missile. It was loaded with explosives, whatever it was, because people there said that they could smell cordite.
Wow. Well, we're plagued by all these commercials. Stay tuned, folks. We just got a short break, and we'll come back at it. And please call in.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
This is the Tommy Crier Show, who's gone today, and I'm Larry B. Kraft. I'm his host for today. My guest is Charles Giuliani, who incidentally is another Republic host. Charles, tell our listeners when your program is on. Charles?
It runs Monday through Friday from 11 to 1 Central, my time here on the East Coast, 12 to 2 p.m. And, I've been doing this since, I forget now if it's late April, early May, I forget.
Okay, and you've also written some books about 9/11.
Yeah, I've got one book called Piercing the Fog of 9/11. It covers all these details and a whole lot more. More than could ever be covered in 2, 3, or even 4, 5, 6 hours. But it's all fully documented. All the resources are referenced there. You can check for yourself to see. Unfortunately, I'm not making this stuff up. It's this bad. We've slept for too long, and the government has seen that it's lulled us to sleep. And so it saw a great opportunity. Okay, these guys are not paying attention. Let's have some fun here. It's not enough that they're sucking one-third of our wages away from us. It's never enough. You see, that's the nature of greed and lust for power. It's never enough. You know, they could have maintained this system for hundreds of years without people really waking up and be living high off the hog while they parasited off of us. But no, they want more, 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 more. So they really upped the ante with this one. They got real clumsy, a little too confident, and it's backfiring because people are waking up now by the millions.
That's the purpose of this show, and that's the purpose of people like you. Hey, Charles, I've been informed that we have Wendy on, and Wendy is from, guess where, Charles? Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Manny, have we got Wendy?
Hi.
Hey, Wendy, how you doing?
Good.
Where do you live?
I'm from Brookfield, Massachusetts.
Well, Does that sound familiar to you, Charles?
Yeah. Do you say pack the car and have it yad?
Well, I'm originally from Long Island, so it's kind of convenient. I'm halfway in between Ed and Elaine Brown's house and New York City. So on Monday and Tuesday, I was demonstrating for 9/11 Truth, and today we went up to the Freedom Fest at Ed and Elaine Brown's, and it was canceled because the federal marshals were at the road blocking all the traffic and not allowing anybody in.
The Gestapo, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get that news out because we just got back from there. And, you know, it's just a shame. It's just a terrible shame that our country has come to this.
It's Wendy, just warming up, unfortunately. Oh, go ahead.
You're involved in the 9/11 Truth Movement. Have you got something they can add to our discussion today?
No, I really wanted to just call in to give you all the latest news on Ed and Elaine Brown.
Okay,
because
well,
I know a lot
that.
Of people in the 9/11 Truth Movement are interested in both issues.
Oh, sure. It's all connected.
Well, I kind of think the 9/11 Truth Movement can have a lot more impact upon America than any other issue at this time.
Yes, I think
major
it can.
Major smoking
well,
gun.
And the tax issue. The tax truth issue is just as important. They're both equally important, and New York was fun. We got rained on, and Alex Jones was great though. And
were you down there and on the scene when Alex was arrested? Did you see that?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't. I was just there for Monday and Tuesday.
Well, what do you know about the Alex Jones arrest?
Nothing more than anybody else does.
Okay.
Just that he was out. You know, the
basically
just, what,
within
a couple of hours,
that.
And I talked to a few people that were actually there when I was down there, but they didn't have too much to add to what you could find on the internet.
Their claimed reason for arresting him was he didn't have a permit to bullhorn. I guess is what it was.
Yeah, I guess you need a permit for everything in New York. I mean, you need permit to videotape down there. We were afraid to bring a video camera with us for that reason.
I hope you have a permit for calling into the show. That's not required. It's ridiculous, isn't
well,
it?
Wendy, we appreciate the call. You got anything else you need to add?
Well, Fox News was there, and so was, I think it's Channel 6 or Channel 9. I couldn't tell whether he had the microphone turned upside down or not in New Hampshire. So they interviewed us. And, the cops gave us this notice that, you know, basically nobody is going to be allowed on Ed and Elaine Brown's property in the future. There's been a court order now. So it's scary for them because now they're at the point where it's going to be really tough for them to survive.
Yeah.
So I'm just very, very concerned. So I hope everybody will give a prayer for them.
Well, you know, what they've been waiting for is now coming up, the cold winter weather. They're hoping to either freeze them to death or force them into compliance.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Wendy.
All right. Well, thank you.
Keep up
Charles,
the good work.
Charles, let's get back to the point right before Wendy called in. Can we shift from the Pentagon to World Trade Center?
Sure. Lots to talk
we had
about
Daniel.
There.
Well, I don't think we answered it in the first half of the show. Daniel this morning was asking questions about, oh, gee, you know, you got that central core there, and you know, it's just made out of cardboard, and you know, if you punch a hole in the core, the whole thing falls down. Is that their argument?
Well, that's what they want you to think. And you know, if that's the case, I would recommend that anybody who works in a high-rise building look for another job as soon as possible, as far away from high-rise buildings. I think we should start dismantling all of them, because apparently, just flick of a cigarette ash could take one of these suckers down. What a colossal, ridiculous joke.
Have you seen over in the Middle East, and I forgot the name of the country, they're building this huge... They've got a palm tree out in the of sand out into the ocean, and they're going to build houses on it. But they got this huge, one of the tallest buildings out in the Middle East, and it's got a helicopter pad at the top, and you can even play tennis up there. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, gee, you know. But then we've also had fires in buildings around the world.
Oh, yeah.
That had burned for long periods of time, and they didn't fall down.
Fires that were far more intense. The World Trade Center fires were not intense.
Well,
let's just put that one to bed right there.
How about Building 7?
That's the most. But let me mention this about building about the South Tower first. Building 2, that building did not have its center penetrated. The plane almost missed. In fact, that's another very difficult maneuver. Not as difficult as the Flight 77 maneuver, but that was very difficult as well. Many pilots said that they couldn't even execute a maneuver like that with years and years of experience. And
tipping the left wing down right before impact.
Right, to ensure that, because otherwise the plane would have missed the building entirely. A gust of wind caught it and yanked it to the right. It almost didn't even hit it at all, but it hit the very corner. So none of the central core columns, which provide the bulk of the stability to the structure, were ever hit by that building. And yet it came down as readily as the North Tower, which was hit head on. Its center columns were impacted, but not the South Tower. How in the world did that building come down like it did? It was hit second and came down first. It came down in less than an hour, about 50 minutes, 49 minutes. And interestingly, the top section of the building tipped over sharply, at a sharp angle, over to the side.
Yeah, but then it stopped. It stopped the tilt and it went straight down, Charles.
It disappeared into the cloud of crumbling debris and was never seen again. Why didn't it fall as it should have fallen, separate from the rest of the building, and remain relatively intact?
Yeah. But
because there was no...
Why didn't it go further to the side? Why did it go straight down?
There was no pancaking there because it was at too sharp of an angle. The floors weren't falling on each other there. How did that pulverize and disappear into oblivion? These are serious questions. Nobody is asking, certainly not in the media, because, of course, we all know the media is a bunch of lying fraud artists, a bunch of traitors.
Now, the way the Trade Center towers were built is they had a huge central core made out of basically steel and concrete.
Sure.
And it was built to withstand forces of at least a 707.
Right. One of its
And from there, you had the outside core that would hold up a lot of the floors, and the floors were, supported between the central core and the outside walls. So if you just knock a little bit of the the walls out on the outside, you might have some crumbling on some floors. But if the central core is infected, how in the world does that tower fall?
Well, did you know that Building 7 had won an award earlier in 2001? This is on Larry Silverstein's Silverstein Properties website. Won an award for the most sturdily constructed building in the country.
Kidding.
It had been reinforced so that you could literally remove every other floor and the building would not lose any of its sturdy integrity. It was done that way because several of the clients, the tenants, wanted to remove some floors, because they had equipment they wanted to store in there that wouldn't fit in the floors otherwise. So they designed it so that it would retain sturdiness even if you removed every other floor. And yet we see that thing came right down like a bunch of crumbling toothpicks, It's just, there's no explaining it. There's no way that a building can crumble from the base, Larry.
Yeah.
Without controlled demolition. It's not possible.
Well, if you'd had some fires, now there have been fires in buildings and they've raged for hours, days, and they still stood. We've seen some pictures of those. And when I look at the video of Building 7, I don't know that it's on fire because I don't see any smoke.
Yeah. There were a few small pockets of fire, but they were insignificant. And, the sprinkler system had put most of them out by the time it came down. Earlier in the afternoon, they were raging a little worse. But, by the time the building came down, the fires were almost completely put out. There was really nothing going on in there. The building was in pristine condition. It could easily have been restored and saved. And we find all of a sudden, I don't know. Oh, by the way, there was footage from CNN, which showed some rescue workers in the area and firemen clearing out the area of Building 7, telling people, the building's going to blow up. Everybody get out of the way.
Wow.
Get back. The building's going to blow up.
Wow. Hey, Charles, we got a break. Hey, come back. And after the break, Manny, put a collar on.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Well, Republic listeners, we're back from that commercial break. My guest today on the Larry B. Kraft, Tommy Crier substitute program is Charles Giuliani. We've been talking about 9/11. We just got through talking about some of the oddities of the completely wild collapse of Building 7. Hey, Charlie, we've got Fred on from Kentucky. You think we can take a little break here and answer a few questions?
Sure.
Manny, we got Fred on?
Yes.
Fred, what can we do? What part of Kentucky are you from?
Barberville, southeastern.
Southeastern, in the mountains. Beautiful country up through there. Gee. So, have you got a question?
No, I got to give you a little information to think about. I want to tell you the real reason those buildings came down or were brought down.
Tell us.
First, I want to give you a few things to think about. Those buildings were more than likely, most all buildings in New York are built on leased land. They pay so much a month for the building to stand there. There is a law that no public building can be occupied that has asbestos insulation.
Right, right.
If you look around, you'll find a building in your area that is vacated because it has asbestos insulation. And those buildings had asbestos insulation. They either had to be vacated. They probably should have been vacated years before this by the law. But that's the main reason they were brought down, is on account of that asbestos insulation. And
well, the building was a real financial drain because not even 50% of its office space was rented out, and it was that way for years. It was actually costing them more money to keep it running than what they were making from it. They weren't making a profit. They were losing.
Yeah, but if they'd have had to remove that asbestos...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It would have cost more than what the buildings were worth to even do that, to remove the asbestos.
It cost two or three times what those buildings were worth.
Yeah.
So they generated this scheme that where they brought the buildings down and flooded the area with this asbestos insulation, and there's thousands of people dying from it.
Now, 9/11 didn't happen because of that, but that was just a fringe benefit. They figured, okay, we need to get rid of these buildings. Let's make that the target.
I beg to differ with you that they wouldn't have agreed to have them buildings come down if it wasn't for that asbestos insulation.
No, but what I'm saying is they would have had an attack anyway, but they chose that because they've been wanting to get rid of it. So it was, you know, it was.
What do you mean they would have
one stone?
What do you mean they would have had an attack anyway?
No, they wanted a fake attack to justify getting us to go to war in Afghanistan and Iraq and to take our rights away. And
from what I understand, Bush already had the orders on his desk before that.
Oh yeah, he did.
Deal was brought about.
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they were planning these wars long ago. You know, you can go back to 1997. We have Zbigniew Brzezinski's Grand Chessboard book, page 211. He said we need to go into Eurasia, build a pipeline.
Well, just think what would the cost would be if they had to vacate the building and leave a stand there with no income from it on account of that asbestos insulation. They'd have had to pay out thousands of dollars a month for the lease.
Yeah. And, you know, to take those buildings down any other way would have been extremely costly as well.
That's right.
Because they would have done damage to surrounding buildings. You can't control demolition buildings that are 110 stories with so many buildings close by. You know, they're going to do damage all around the whole area. So the only way to do it is to dismantle them. But that's an enormous, that's even more costly than to de-asbestotize them. So, yeah, they had to go through controlled demolition. Sure, take out buildings in the area. Who cares how much damage is done?
That's all I have. I'll hang up now.
Okay,
well, appreciate it, Fred. But, you know, I think, Charles, your view is that regardless of the asbestos condition, with the desires of our elite leadership, they wanted to stick their nose in other parts of the world and there needed to be some type of a provocation.
Yeah.
And the World Trade Center just happened to be good because, hey, you know, it's bad real estate in New York. If they'd been pristine, they'd have hit some other place like the Sears Towers in Chicago.
Convenient target, yeah. And, you know, the Pentagon was hit. Well, yeah, they wanted to get rid of those few troublemakers that were investigating the missing Pentagon funds. So there's another example of that, two birds with one stone. But also to hit the Pentagon made it look a little more convincing and legitimate because Arabs wouldn't just want to hit fanatic Arab Muslims, I should say, quote-unquote, wouldn't just want to hit the trade towers. They would want to hit something more significant in Washington, the head of the military that's been responsible for a lot of the woes in the world. So it sounds legit. And who's going to think that the government would attack one of its own facilities? Of course, they did that back in 95 with the Oklahoma City building, but it just looks...
story. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another story. By the way, the same Controlled Demolition, Inc. company that was on the scene in at the World Trade Center towers, you know, WTC, Ground Zero, helping with the cleanup. They were also on the scene in Oklahoma City helping with the cleanup of that building. And in both cases, the debris was cleaned up without an investigation. This is the same company where if you go to the website, you click on government, the top of the page that opens up, it says DOD, Department of Defense. They actually state that we have the years of experience and expertise to qualify us to contract with the Pentagon for handling sensitive domestic projects.
Wow.
Amazing statement.
Folks, we're going to be having a commercial break here, and we'll come back after this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Well, Republic listeners, we are back from that commercial break. My guest today is Charles Giuliani, who is also a Republic host. Middays, Monday through Friday. Now, Charles, right before the break, we were on some, we were talking about the Trade Center towers. Let me ask this question. What caused those, that melted steel that smoldered for months in the sub-basements of the World Trade Center towers?
Yeah, without question, there's only one explanation. It's the same thing that caused the paint to disappear off of the cars half a mile and even a mile away from the towers. It was, amongst other things, it was explosives. It could have been some other high-tech weapon that the public is not privy to involved. I'd almost say it had to involve something like that because conventional explosives wouldn't even do that. But in any case, it was something that created tremendous heat and produced what are called pyroclastic flow clouds. These are clouds that are shaped like cauliflower that spread across all of lower Manhattan, even out over the ocean, over the bay, I should say, after the collapse of all three buildings. And there's only two things known to man that can produce pyroclastic flow clouds: volcanic eruptions and controlled demolitions. Well, I don't recall any volcanoes erupting in lower Manhattan on 9/11. I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, there were none. So I can only assume that these must have been the result of the controlled demolitions that took place there. What happens is the tremendous heat from the blast causes air to rise. That's the air that is, you know, in close vicinity that has been heated up. But the air can only rise so far, and then it's halted because of the dust that's mixed in with the air. And so it creates these little cauliflower-shaped clouds. And, again, they're endemic to volcanic eruptions, controlled demolitions. That's just one fingerprint. There's been many fingerprints. But all this heat clearly explains why these fires burn for months on end. You know, one fireman said, we dumped so much water on Ground Zero, it was enough to create a lake.
Wow.
And it was nonstop from September 11th right on up until December 19th was when they put out the last pockets of fire.
Wow.
And it just raged. All during that time, they were pulling girders out of the pile that were still glowing red hot, 1,500 to 2,000 degrees, which is far hotter than what they claimed the initial fires were that were burned in the buildings before they collapsed, 800 degrees.
Wow.
And these puddles of steel that they were finding, which require temperatures of 2,800 degrees to melt steel, were being found in the sub-basement level, 70 feet underground, buried under layer after layer of ash and debris. Now, how did that molten steel get down there at all? The fires were only in the top sections of the buildings, which were the last to reach the ground. You know, how did that molten steel get way down in the sub-basement levels? You see what I'm saying?
Sure do.
Desperately wrong.
You've heard the story of, what was his name, Rodriguez?
William Rodriguez, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've interviewed him. He's very interesting.
Well, tell us his story.
Yeah, well, he's only one of several that told stories like this, but, he was in the basement of the towers, and he heard an explosion above his head. There were others who described the same thing. They got on the elevator, and actually, he was in the sub-basement level when he first heard an explosion after the plane had hit, and he wound up later helping people, you know, get out of the building, and, you know, he was rescuing people. But there were some others who were in, like, the third, or actually sixth sub-basement level. They heard this big explosion above them. They got in the elevator. They went up to the third sub-basement level. As soon as they opened the door, they said they couldn't believe it. It was just fine dust everywhere. They saw broken chunks of cement all over the floor. It was in a parking garage. And there had been a compressor that was sitting there outside the elevator. It weighed about 50 tons. They said it was gone. It had just been there earlier in the morning. And it was just gone, like it was blown into bits and just scattered, you know. They said they had to hurry up and close the elevator doors because the dust was heading toward them, and they were afraid they were going to suffocate. They went up to the lobby, and they found that the lobby had been all blown apart. There were chunks of marble that was on the walls that had been blown off the walls and smashed on the floor. The huge, thick panes of glass in the windows in the lobby were all blown out, shattered everywhere, and there was fine, fine dust all over the front lobby, which, of course, is, classic fingerprint of controlled demolition explosives. They said that, the lobby blew out because of some of the plane fuel coming down the elevator shaft.
Wow.
And exploding on impact at the ground level. That's hogwash. If that were the case, you would have seen evidence of fire damage. You know, you would have seen black soot, burn marks, whatever, smoke damage. Nothing like that at all was seen. All you saw was evidence of a powerful explosive that went off and fine.
Before the planes hit. Is that correct?
This explosion occurred shortly afterwards, but there were explosions heard as well before the planes hit, and in fact, all during the time the building stood, right up until the time they came down, and of course, when they began coming down is when they heard a whole bunch of them, boom, 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 all the way down. You know, firemen described this, various citizens on the scene, policemen, news reporters. One guy from the BBC said, I can't even begin to imagine the human toll resulted from these explosions, these powerful explosions that were going off as the towers came down. With the FBI, the local FBI, who obviously were not informed yet about what to shut their mouths over, you know, their initial understanding was that probably the terrorists had truck bombs planted in the basements. They said this would account for all the explosions that were heard going off in the basement. We believe that there were bombs planted probably in trucks in the sub-basement levels. Of course, after 9/11, that actual day, you never heard anything more about that. That was completely dropped and blackballed. And then now they say that you're crazy if you talk about bombs. That's all they were talking about on 9/11 is bombs. Ann Thompson, again, she said that she was in this is the one who described, you know, the cars had flipped from the force of the blast.
Wow.
She was also in the lobby of the North Tower after it was hit. And she said, suddenly we heard this loud explosion and the whole building shook and we were all covered in fine dust. We continued to stay in there. The building seemed safe. And, you know, a few minutes later, she said, there was another explosion. We were all covered in fine dust. Suddenly, she said, a fire marshal came in and ordered us out of the building because he said, if there was another explosion like that, this building will not last.
Wow.
So there you go. I mean, we have multiple eyewitness accounts who were there, who heard it, who saw it. One woman, another reporter, said that she saw flames coming out of the base of the North Tower as it began to fall. The crumbling was taking place, you know, 80, 90 floors up or whatever, but yet she saw flames coming out of the base of the building the moment it began to collapse. Well, that's perfectly consistent with the Columbia University seismographic data, which show these huge spikes that occurred before the buildings began to collapse. There were these huge spikes, 2.1 and a 2.3, you know, for each tower, and they were followed by these smaller explosions. That's what you do in a controlled demolition. You set off massive explosions to knock the building off its foundation, and then the smaller explosions bring it right down, and gravity does most of the work. As you pulverize it, gravity just pulls everything right down.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing there to hold it up because it's already been knocked off its foundation.
Not even the concrete steel central columns. Hey, Charles, let's take a couple of calls.
Sure.
We got a caller from Louisiana, Manny. Can you put her on? Carrie.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
How you doing?
I was listening to y'all talk about the Pentagon strike.
Yeah.
And it might have been a missile or whatever. Have you heard of pilotsfor911truth.org?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Well, there's scholars for 9/11 Truth. There's veterans for 9/11 Truth. There's all kinds of websites.
All right. Well, the aeronautics or whatever you want to call it, aviation people there, they had their own video that they put out several. But the one that's really damning is Pandora's Black Box, Chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
It has the NTSB released flight data recorder information about the flight of. Well, whatever they had it on, Flight 77, where they show the 7,000-foot drop in about 2 minutes, which, again, as Mr. Giuliani said, was impossible. It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what they
buildings...
had it on, but what the current thinking is by some members there is that nothing hit the Pentagon, that there were just explosives. That's
explosives.
Why people like
yeah.
that. Huh?
Quite possible. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, that there were these wall-busting explosives that I've seen the videos for. They blow these perfect circular concentric holes. April Gallup, who worked at the Pentagon, was at the Pentagon that day,
yeah.
came out and said she heard explosions before anything, quote, hit it.
Yeah.
Initial reports by Jim Mikuláševsky said that they thought there was a truck bomb at the heliport.
Interestingly enough, the seismographs in the areas all detected, you know, the impacts of the planes at the towers, the impact of the whatever it was that hit in Shanksville, but there was no seismographic register for the impact on the Pentagon.
Right, but pretty much what the current thinking, well, and again, this is some speculation, some of the people there, is that there's nothing but explosions at the Pentagon and that there was a big jet that did a flyover.
It's quite possible.
There's some witnesses that have said, yeah, they saw a jet, you know, fly through the flames and stuff or the smoke after the explosions went off. So, you know, there's some parts of something that were there, but it's no 757, you know, jetliner parts there. I mean, even,
right.
What's his name, Jamie McIntyre from CNN, who was one of the first guys on the scene, was saying, there's no evidence that a plane hit the Pentagon. I don't see any
exactly.
tail sections.
And, of course, he denied that later. He lied.
Yeah,
but
he retracted
that.
But
right.
Anyway, I just wanted to...
Well, Gary, we appreciate the phone call.
Thank
yeah.
you, sir.
You know, as I always say, it's not so much knowing what did happen, it's knowing what didn't happen. And what didn't happen is their official story.
So true, so true. Let's take another caller, Manny. How about Don from Ohio? Is that it?
Hello?
Don, you there?
Yes, I am.
You got a question for Charles?
Yeah, well, basically it's the fact that at Shanksville, they say the reason why there was no wreckage is because it ended up down in a mine shaft. You know, at least that's what they believe. The whole plane basically disappeared down this little pit. But if that's true, then how did they get the voice recorders out and stuff like that?
Yeah, isn't that convenient?
I mean, I think the people of this country, and especially the people that lost people that were supposed to be on that flight, demand that that site be exhumed on live TV.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too. This is a fact. They found an engine a mile away. They found pieces of some kind of aircraft up to 6 and even 8 miles away. They found human remains, you know, at Indian Lake there.
Indian Lake, right.
And they were finding luggage. People were gathering up trash bags full of clothing, you know, all kinds of personal carry-on items, magazines, books, you name it. Some of it was charred. Some of it was in pristine condition. Miles from the Shanksville site. And, you know, this was all covered up. You didn't hear much about this in mainstream media because there's no accounting for that. How can all this debris be strewn across the countryside miles and miles apart when the plane is supposed to have just crashed right there in Shanksville? I mean, it's just not possible. Obviously, the official story doesn't add up, and what really did happen is totally different from what they're telling us. This has all been covered up.
Well, what about the possibility that they could have shot at the plane? It broke up at a high altitude there and... You know, at least part of the plane fell into the, like the front end could have fallen into that spot.
Well, that's exactly what happened. But the question is, what plane did they shoot at? Was it Flight 93? Because, of course, Flight 93 was reported as having landed at Cleveland.
Yeah.
So what did they shoot down? Maybe it was Flight 77.
Why are they saying Shanksville is the end result, you know, of where finally?
Well, I think they
up.
Created a diversion. They probably fired a missile in that field so people would think that was the... You know, the actual crash site when nothing really crashed there at all.
Oh, so your argument is that there's another crash site that's never been reported anywhere in the press.
Well, there was initially on CNN. They reported this crash site 6 miles away, and they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's just been confirmed by local officials here that this does come from." Well, they said it was from Flight 93, so who knows what to believe? But they said that you know, they found human remains. There's no question that, you know, how did this debris get here 6 miles away from the crash scene in Shanksville? You never heard anything more about it again. They dropped it.
Also on Flight 77, that was supposed to hit the Pentagon. Soon after that happened, the Army releases information that over all these years that they've been dumping chemicals and stuff like that right off of Virginia and all around basically the world, but they wanted to make a point that they were dropping off all these deadly chemicals right off where, you know, a plane might have went down and stuff like that. You got to wonder if they've been chasing, you know, at the time, chasing any fishermen away from that area, you know, that might have come across a plane or something like that.
Sure.
It's awful darn strange that they, you know, came out with that report right afterwards.
Well, I mean, there's no question we're dealing with a cover-up here. You know, the FBI was busy touring Washington, seizing video footages from a local gas station, a hotel. They were busy in Shanksville. They seized a local 911 emergency call that a guy made from a cell phone just before the plane impacted. So this, you know, this call would have gone through. And he said, "Mayday, mayday, I'm on a commercial airliner. We've just been hit. I can see smoke coming out. We're going to crash. FBI seized the tape, and it's never seen the light of day since.
No kidding. I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. We had the same thing in New York. There's a ground control facility called the Bat Cave on Long Island. And during lunch break, several of the controllers met privately in this conference room and passed a handheld recorder around, relaying the events as they unfolded that morning, apparently hoping to hold on to it until Bush was out of office or something to release it to the public. A controller from the FAA got word of this. He came in, seized the tape, pulled it out.
Little pieces and put it all
right,
around the building.
Tore it up, threw it in different trash cans all over the building. I mean, obviously, he had something to hide there. What was on that tape? I imagine they were relaying how they were told to shut up, not respond, you know, don't send the military planes up. And, you know, they wanted this on tape as a witness, and that wasn't allowed.
Wow.
Have a good day.
It's all just massive, massive cover-up activities going on across the board here.
Don, thanks for the call. Charles, we're going to have a break here in just a few minutes. Then after that, we're going to have the concluding thoughts. What in these final moments of this program, what are some of the important points? We got the 9/11 truth movement out there trying to convince the rest of America that this is a bunch of hogwash. What's some powerful ammunition you can give to people like that can help convince the rest of America that the official line is untrue?
I tell you guys... The Guardian just came out with an article on Wednesday called 9/11, the big cover-up, with a question mark. And it says...
In London? The Guardian in London?
Right. And it says this, its opening statement. It says, even the chair of the 9/11 Commission now admits that the official evidence that they were given was, quote, far from the truth. So, to me, it almost doesn't even matter at this point now what you believe regarding 9/11. This tells us that the official explanation provided by the government, the 9/11 Commission, is bunk by its own chair's admission. The information that they were given, which they based their conclusions on, by their own admission, was, quote, far from the truth. So we don't have any answers. There needs to be a real investigation here. And it needs to be conducted not by government minions who are lapdogs of officials in the administration and obviously are going to be part of the cover-up, which was what we had with the Kennedy so-called investigation, the Warren headed up by Alan Dulles, the man that Kennedy fired as a CIA director. I mean, how rigged more can you get than that?
We got a break, Charles.
Yeah.
Hey, hold those thoughts and let's come back and let's give them some ammunition. 9/11 Truth Seekers. Stay tuned, folks.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. Power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Okay, folks, we're back in the concluding minutes of the Tommy Crier Show. Hey, Charles, we got Alan from Texas. Let's take a real quick question from or comment from Alan, then we got to conclude the show, Alan.
Yeah, good afternoon. If you've already talked about this, excuse me, I haven't heard the whole show, but it seems like with so many people now on the bandwagon with us. When do you think we're going to see some turnaround on this thing and actually get some serious discussion in the public arena on this thing?
Well, thanks for the question. Charlie, answer that, and then we're going to have to go, Alan.
Okay.
Charlie?
Yeah, it's something we've got to keep ringing our congressmen and senators' phones off the hook, and we've got to make it clear that this time it's not going to be rigged like it was. We need citizens. We need the family members of the 9/11 victims themselves to determine who's going to head up such a commission. They need to pick the people they want. Never mind the government picking. Bush picked every single one of those people. The man who has the most blood stains on his hands, he handpicked the whole commission. That must never happen again.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's
we need to make demands. You know, call your congressmen. Call their phones off the hook.
Hey, look, the civil rights movement had an impact upon America, and now it's time for the 9/11 truth movement to have an impact upon America.
Absolutely.
Let's get it going.
My congressman
Charlie
is in the back pocket of George Bush, so.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
The problem there. So, anyway, okay, thanks, Jen.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Alan. Charlie, we got just a few minutes. Tell your listeners about how to get your books.
Yeah, all of this information and a whole lot more is available in my book called Piercing the Fog of 9/11. I have another book that gives a broader perspective of why 9/11 and other things like this have been happening, because this is all tending toward this hidden agenda. Not so hidden anymore, but their agenda has been world government, world domination.
What's the name of that book?
That's called The New World Disorder.
So you've got two books?
Yeah, both
anymore?
Of those are available. I'm sorry?
Any more?
Yeah, I've got some others that I wrote back in my days as a theology major exposing the corruption of organized religion. One's called Church Incorporated. It's pretty interesting. It exposes how these so-called churches are just religious corporations, and their only purpose of existence is to exploit you. And now, because they're in contractual agreement with the government through the IRS's 501c3 tax-exempt corporation status, now their function is also to keep you in the dark, along with the media and the educational establishment, to make sure you don't know about things like 9/11, because they're part of the cover-up program. So
well,
I expose...
What's the one event? You know, to me, it's Building 7. You know, if you're going to approach the rest of your next-door neighbor or the guy that you work with...
Yeah, I think Building 7 is a big key issue, definitely. It's a major smoking gun. There's no accounting for that. There's no way to explain it. But anyway, if people are interested in getting the books, you can just go to lulu.com. That's lulu.com. Search for my name, Charles Giuliani, Giuliani, just like Rudolph.
Rudy.
No relation. Yeah, no relation. And my books will come up that way.
So,
but,
final
you know,
comments.
Understand, folks, there was no investigation at Ground Zero. None. They thwarted it. They prevented it. There were volunteers there, experts from around the country volunteering their services for free. They weren't allowed to look at any of the debris, to section the area off, to rope it off, to number the pieces as they were being removed, to photograph them. None of this was done. Everything was removed haphazardly, sloppily, hauled off to be melted down into scrap. The biggest crime scene in American history, and it was not investigated. They didn't allow a 9/11 investigation until 14 months later, after all the debris was removed. Then, and only then, did they allow an investigation, and Bush handpicked every commission member. The whole thing was rigged. It was not an investigation. It was nothing but a cover-up. And, you know, something's got to be done about this. The real perpetrators of the biggest crime in American history are still walking the streets, and I'll tell you, they're walking the streets of Washington.
Wow. What about the Pentagon? What's the big problem there? Just no plane parts?
Oh, the whole thing. The whole thing. I mean, every single aspect of it. The whole thing, it's just one big... I mean, to narrow it down to one single point, good heavens. I mean, just look at the picture taken by, for example, a Marine, Ingersoll, his name was.
Hey.
The hole is way too small to have been made by a 757.
Charles, you're a great host and a great guest. I've enjoyed you being on this program. Folks, come back next week. Listen, here's the schedule. Charles, every day, the middle of the week, on Republic. Me, Larry B. Craft, on 9 to 10 on Saturday morning Central. And Tommy Cryer, 2 to 5 on Saturdays on Central. Come back. We enjoy your listening. With